From North State Public Radio, I'm Alex Dutson with your headlines for Wednesday, May 18th. The California State Board of Food and Agriculture will have two representatives from the North State this term. One of them is Chico State's Dean of the College of Agriculture. NSPR's Ken Duvall has more.
Patricia Stock was appointed to a state commission that will advise Governor Newsom on issues related to farming and ranching. In her work at Chico State, Dr. Stock has been committed to the principles of regenerative agriculture at the university's farm. Regenerative ag is an increasingly utilized holistic model that conserves resources and enhances soils, and it can significantly reduce agriculture's carbon footprint.
People are embracing regenerative practices more and more. I always say that sometimes people are using them already and they don't know that they are using them.
The university farm also collaborates closely with local growers for larger scale projects and provides workshops and trainings to the ag community, as well as practical services such as soil testing. Stock says she sees agriculture as a far more complex topic than people might think.
Agriculture is a multidisciplinary field, from social sciences, economics, physics, if we're going to look at the soil properties, chemistry, biology, and you can do molecular biology as well, computing science.
Stock says she's honored to represent the region on the board. Her term will expire in January of 2023. The other representative from the North State on the commission this term is Bryce Lundberg. Lundberg was reappointed to the position and is the vice president of agriculture at Lundberg Family Farms. His term expires in January of 2025. For NSPR News, I'm Ken Duvall.
The FBI has opened a federal hate crime investigation into the shooting at an Orange County church on Sunday. KPCC's Josie Huang has more.
Law enforcement officials said suspected gunman David Cho left behind evidence of hating Taiwanese people, including notes in his car. All the victims were of Taiwanese descent, shot while congregating at a Presbyterian church in Laguna Woods. Cho reportedly lived in Taiwan when he was young and indicated that he was not treated well there, according to the Orange County Sheriff. The targeting of a Presbyterian church was quickly noted by scholars who follow relations between China and Taiwan, which the mainland considers a breakaway province. Lev Nachman of the Harvard Fairbanks Center for China Studies says the Presbyterian Church is known for supporting the pro-independence movement in Taiwan.
When Taiwanese began to flee to the United States, established Taiwanese Presbyterian churches that became these community centers for the independence cause in the United States.
Scholars warned, though, against extrapolating a political narrative from a single tragedy. Jessica Drun, who's with the Atlantic Council's Global China Hub, says a Taiwan versus China framing can fan xenophobia that is rampant in right-wing circles.
How do you frame this debate in a way that doesn't spill over and harm the broader AAPI community?
Drun points out Asian Americans have already seen a rise in violent attacks in recent years. For the California Report, I'm Josie Huang in Laguna Woods.
The California primary election is just under 3 weeks away. If you're registered, you've probably received a ballot in the mail along with a thick voter guide. And if you've taken a look at those materials, you may have seen Senator Alex Padilla in two races.
We're giving voters a heads up that that is not a typo. That is what we're doing this time. And, it's just another example of how confusing it can be to be a California voter.
Kim Alexander is with the nonpartisan California Voter Foundation. The separate but related U.S. Senate contests are asking voters to allow Padilla, who replaced Vice President Kamala Harris, to finish his truncated Senate term and then begin a new one. Alexander says California's election process can be confusing. In the presidential election, it matters what party you're registered with. But in the primary election,
now it doesn't matter. You can be with any party and vote for any candidate of any party in the primary, regardless of how you're registered or if you're registered nonpartisan. So that's this open primary top two system that we have, which is also, uniquely California.
California's primary is Tuesday, June 7th. California's nonpartisan legislative analyst office says the state could be headed towards a fiscal cliff, despite a record-breaking budget surplus. Governor Gavin Newsom announced a $97.5 billion surplus on Friday when he unveiled his revised state budget. But in a report released yesterday, the analyst office says the proposed budget would leave the state more than $3 billion over a constitutional limit on spending this year and more than $20 million over that limit next year. The Legislative Analyst's Office is strongly urging lawmakers to put more money into savings. But the Newsom administration says many of the programs funded in the spending plan don't require recurring funding. KQED politics reporter Guy Marzorati says while Newsom argues the budget proposal will provide direct relief to California residents dealing with rising prices, some wonder if pumping more money into the economy could make inflation even worse.
Newsom says the centerpiece of the revised budget plan he unveiled on Friday is aimed at lowering costs.
High inflation, record inflation, at least in our lifetimes, the challenges and burdens associated with costs across the spectrum. What are we going to do to ease that stress, ease that burden?
Newsom's answer is sending $400 debit cards to vehicle owners, and Democrats in the legislature want to do something similar with smaller checks targeted towards low-income residents. The problem, says James Wilcox, professor at Berkeley's Haas School of Business, is that rising prices are due in part to huge consumer demand.
And the governor is now proposing to provide another $18 billion to Californians so that they can spend it.
Wilcox says the relief checks will provide tangible benefits to residents, but
this is just going to boost demand further.
Newsom says rising costs are factoring into the state's spending plans in future years, but for now,
offsetting the cost burden in this state to millions of working families, I think, is wise because of those inflationary burdens. And no, I do not believe in the macro it will have a significant impact.
The governor and the legislature will now negotiate a final spending plan ahead of a June 15th deadline. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati.
It's been nearly 6 years since a decision was made to close California's only remaining active nuclear power plant. PG&E's Diablo Canyon sits on the coast in San Luis Obispo County and has been a source of conflict for decades. It's also been a low-carbon source of energy for the state, with only a couple of years remaining before the plant is expected to go offline. That's leading some, including Governor Gavin Newsom, to question whether California can meet its green energy goals once Diablo Canyon goes dark. CalMatters environmental reporter Nadia Lopez spoke with Cap Radio's Randall White about the issue and what options are currently available for keeping the power plant open.
How much power does Diablo Canyon actually provide to the state?
So the plant itself represents about 8.5% of California's in-state power generation, and it provides enough electricity to support the needs of more than 3 million people.
I lived in San Luis Obispo for many years and have even toured the plant as well as covered it. This seemed like a done deal. So what would it take now to keep it open?
There are several financial and technical challenges that exist that people have raised some concerns over. The plant's owner is PG&E, and PG&E would be required to renew certain licenses with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and they would have to expedite that renewal process. In addition, you know, nuclear plants require water as a cooling mechanism to prevent them from overheating. So that water is often released back into the ocean at much higher temperatures, and environmental justice advocates say that it could damage marine habitats and cause other environmental problems. So new state requirements mean that PG&E would have to address aging infrastructure problems and make investments in order to comply with the state's new water cooling regulations. And it would be hard to do that under such a short time frame.
You mentioned the water issue. What else do opponents of nuclear power say about this potential shift in plans?
Opponents of nuclear energy say that Native Americans, Black people, Latinos, these communities are especially vulnerable to the harm from mining uranium, which is the material that's used to produce nuclear-powered energy, as well as the disposal and storage of radioactive spent nuclear fuel. So critics also say that the facility's infrastructure, because it is outdated and flawed, there's a big threat of earthquakes.
Nadia, how about those in favor of extending the life of Diablo Canyon? What are they saying?
Yeah, so because Diablo Canyon is not a fossil fuel-emitting source of power, that it plays a crucial role in providing carbon-free energy, maintaining the reliability of the state's power grid. And they also say that the state needs to be relying on all kinds of renewable and carbon-free sources, including nuclear energy, to achieve carbon neutrality by 2045.
Should Governor Gavin Newsom get behind this plan to extend the life of Diablo Canyon, what sort of time constraints does he have?
The deadline to apply for this funding, this federal funding that Biden and his administration have set aside to rescue nuclear power plants, is May 19th. So that's coming up pretty soon. And as we know, Newsom doesn't have any authority to actually decide the fate of Diablo Canyon. That's up to PG&E and the CPUC. Both have stated that all options are on the table, so it's still unclear whether or not that will happen.
Nadia Lopez is an environment reporter at Cal Matters. Find her latest piece on nuclear power in California at capradio.org. Thank you, Nadia.
Thank you so much.
And she was speaking with Cap Radio's Randall White. And those are your headlines for Wednesday, May 18th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. You can read a newsletter-style rundown of headlines on our website at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Alex Dutson.